We did not know whether we were in heaven or on earth. We only know that God dwells there among men.
Since blossoming from its ancient Hebrew roots, the Orthodox Church has developed and maintained profoundly beautiful expressions of its Eucharistic sacramental life, awesome and majestic and, at the same time, intimate and personal. Her worship is a mirror of her understanding, her experience of who God is. His transcendent awesomeness and His tender, intimate love are both reflected together in the prayers, hymns, icons, and even in the progression of services and the architecture of her temples. It is little wonder that many who enter into the worship of the Orthodox Church find their heart's true home. The word Orthodox is translated true praise or right worship. But this truth is realized only in the body, the ecclesia or gathering. In other words, to be Orthodox is to be part of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. As Orthodox Christians, we understand that ours is the fullest expression of the Christian faith. It's impossible to be Orthodox without taking part in the Church's sacramental life. For the very word Orthodox expresses membership in the body of Christ through participation in her worship.
When we enter into worship, when we enter into these feasts, we become part of that family once again.
We're not talking about an ideology here. You have to believe this, 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 and you sign a piece of paper, and that means you're in the Orthodox Church. This is a form of life, and when the Holy Spirit brings people together, diversity is respected. There is unity in diversity, and this is exactly the way it is in the Holy Trinity. So this is our model in worship, where you have three persons that are absolutely unique and unrepeatable, yet they are one. So this is what we're trying to do in worship. So this is communion, real communion.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
The Orthodox life is, above all, sacramental. Of course, sacrament means a great deal more than certain selected services of the Church. Our every thought, word, and action should be a sacrament, an act of worship, a holy offering to God. Indeed, it is the body of Christ, the Church herself, gathered together to give thanks that is the central and ultimate sacrament.
It's very interesting that in liturgy, the Church kind of scoops up everything. Foods and flowers and incense and smells and buildings and artwork and people's lives and the clothing that's represented in icons. Everything that exists is somehow reoriented and comes into this force field and plays this new role.
Orthodox worship is everything together. Orthodox worship is icon with a capital I. Orthodox worship is scripture with a capital S. Orthodox worship is the melody of the kingdom of God and the fragrance of paradise. I think that would be more descriptive.
The essence of this sacramental reality is embodied in the extraordinary path that we follow on our life in Christ, the Church's rich cycle of feasts, fasts, prayers, and hymns. For the Orthodox believer, this sacred order guides our steps and gives us purpose.
We cannot be a vacuum. We're going to give our devotion to something or someone. And if we then give our devotion to God and be lifted up to His level of life and be transformed, then all the other priorities are going to come into perspective. You know? But if we don't have the worship of God as the focus, then we may be divided into all sorts of other things that lead away from authentic personhood and authentic human life as intended and designed by God, since we are His image and likeness.
What then is more blessed than to hasten to prayer at daybreak and to worship the Creator with hymns and song?
the primary purpose of the Ecclesia, the Church, can be found in the word we use to name that holiest of services, the service that forms the central focus of all our feasts, the Divine Liturgy. Liturgy is the work of the people, clergy and laity together. By using this word, we are saying that our job as Orthodox Christians is to worship God. Only in doing so can we realize our highest calling.
With liturgy, you always feel at the end, you know, that somehow like you did something good. You had a good meal. You didn't have junk food. And you feel it, something new and different happening inside yourself.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
If our purpose is to worship God, let us do it with reverence and respect. Let us joyously and seriously take up our life's true purpose, worshiping God.
Because God created creation with free beings, human beings, in order that these human beings cultivate and take care of this creation, transform it with their love in a prayerful manner, and then offer it back to God, so he in his turn can transform it and give it back to us as the kingdom of God. This is the whole purpose of life, and this is why God did it all in the first place. So worship is not an accidental thing. It's not just one section of life, one compartment of life. It is real life. This is life. Maybe some of the other things will pass, but this worship will not pass, because in the kingdom to come, this is what we will be doing face to face with God.
What I am going to say is disagreeable, but I will say it nonetheless. A grievous disease prevails in the church. When we assemble to hold communion with God and are in the process of glorifying God, some of you carry on with your own conversations and amusements. Prayers are going on, and yet some of you are unconcerned. A sleepy indifference and even boredom possesses you. You daydream, and your eyes and attention roam all over the place. Some gossip and even indulge in slander and mockery, thereby desecrating the Lord's house. Even more perverse, while the priest is praying, some people giggle outright, others sneer with contempt. In church, we stand in the company of angels, and yet some are laughing. Is the liturgy nothing but a theatrical amusement? Therefore, I solemnly beseech you, refrain from your wicked conduct. Be attentive to holy things. Show devotion and reverence to your Lord.
The hymns of our faith are a precious treasure. In them we have the teachings of our faith, not in boring prose, but in beautiful, expressive poetry, set to music that can lift our hearts and minds and feed our souls. The hymns of the Orthodox Church truly are the university of our faith.
What better thing can the people do than sing? I know of no better thing than this.
In some parishes, choirs or trained chanters lead the congregation in the prayers and hymns. It is important to remember that these choirs or chanters were never to be thought of as soloists. The liturgy is the work of the people, of all the people. Whether you sing along out loud or follow quietly in your heart, you should still be actively participating. We live in a material world made up of earth and water and air. We eat and drink and sleep. We live in a material world, and yet we know that there is something else that lies above and beyond this reality.
A time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
The Old Testament expressly forbade the worship of graven images or idols. Many critics of the Orthodox faith have accused it of violating that commandment. However, at the Seventh Ecumenical Council, the fathers of our faith decided that, as God had become man in the form of Christ, icons, literally images of Christ and the saints, were not only appropriate, but were an important means of focusing our devotion on what they represented. For in their representations, they contained the spirit of what they represented.
At the time of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, it was stated that the word and image are equal, have equal power in Revelation. So whatever can be said in word can also be expressed in image, and those expressions are equal in value. That is very important. They are not parts, but they are two expressions of the same whole, of the same presence of a person of Jesus Christ himself. The icon will represent the event or a person as they are in eternity, as they are in the experience and the life of the church. And that, of course, is a very, very different perspective.
I boldly draw an image of the invisible God, not as invisible, but as having become visible for our sakes by partaking of flesh and blood. I do not draw an image of the immortal Godhead, but I paint the image of God who became visible in the flesh.
The meaning and the way the icon is constructed is to present a visual gateway to communicate with the living presence of the prototype now. Our Lord made himself visible as an offering to us, and we come and we enter into that communion. So the icon is already a result of that, is the image of that communion.
Icons are the point where the spiritual and the physical meet. For this reason, icons are not intended to look like realistic pictures. In a mystical sense, they are doorways into heaven, not depicting reality as we understand it, but depicting a real heavenly kingdom and inviting us to enter into that kingdom. God placed us on earth to be priests, representing the entirety of creation. We are to offer back to God through our work what God has given to us. Sadly, Adam and Eve failed in their role, and until Christ came, no one had been able to fulfill this.
The gospel message is the announcement of what God has done for our salvation. One might note that the main agent and focus of the Bible is actually God, not necessarily man. But for us as Christians, of course, the core of the good news is what God had done in Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Remembering, therefore, this command of the Savior and all that came to pass for our sake, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, the enthronement on the right hand of the Father, and the second glorious coming.
Christ represents the fulfillment of our purpose, rejoining creation with God, making the world holy, and enabling us to fulfill our own priestly calling. As believers, we are now able to enter into fellowship with each other and the heavenly kingdom, to interface with heaven through the sacramental life. This is why the Orthodox faith embraces icons, relics, and other material expressions. We use our physical senses to enter into the spiritual realm.